Good morning, and welcome to the Prescott Daily Courier. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. Today, I'll be reading articles dated May 27th, 2026. Here are your headlines. Prescott finalizes CDBG funding request for down payment assistance program and 10 other projects. Two arrested for allegedly stealing 2,100 gallons of diesel fuel in Seligman. And Prescott approves policy for funding events hosted by non-government entities. And here are your details. Prescott finalizes CDBG funding request for down payment assistance program and 10 other projects by Brody Green. Following a rigorous and highly competitive application cycle for federal community development block grant funds that began in December, the City of Prescott has requested $50,000 for its community development department to establish a down payment assistance program aimed at serving first-time home buyers buying a primary residence in Prescott. The pilot program will be a deferred payment loan with no interest and no monthly payments, secured by a subordinate lien on the property, CDBG coordinator Michael McInnes said, adding that the money may be used for down payments and closing costs, and that the loan repayment is triggered by the sale or refinancing of the home. Repayments are returned to the program, creating a revolving fund source for future Prescott home buyers, McInnes said. Here in Prescott, we estimate 3 to 4 households assisted during the project's pilot phase, and we're hoping within a year to 18 months that the first one goes through. This first year is going to be all about setting up the process and systems. The funding request for the new program, as well as 10 other projects, will be sent to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which facilitates the CDBG program, by Tuesday, June the 30th. HUD approval is anticipated by August, with funding becoming available in October. The competition for federal dollars has become especially competitive this year, with the city receiving 26 total applications for the estimated $265,856 in CDBG funding. A lot of grants have dried up, and CDBG is one of those grants that's still pretty solid, and the word gets out, McInnes said. Two arrested for allegedly stealing 2,100 gallons of diesel fuel in Seligman. Two Las Vegas men were arrested after conducting a string of burglaries at Seligman gas stations early Friday morning, May 22nd. Yavapai County Sheriff's Office, YCSO, recovered approximately 2,100 gallons of diesel fuel stolen as part of a fuel theft ring operation. The investigation began after a Seligman gas station reported a significant amount of diesel fuel was missing from its pumps. A neighboring gas station was also targeted. During the initial investigation, deputies located a parked U-Haul truck that matched the description of one of the suspect's vehicles. A deputy noticed fuel leaking from the cargo area onto the street with fuel-laden shoe prints leading from the spill to a nearby hotel room. The deputy, YCSO Criminal Investigations Bureau, CIB, and the Arizona Department of Public Safety, AZDPS, arrested two suspects in the hotel room. The Las Vegas residents, 37-year-old Dacal Roberto Michelle Campos and 23-year-old Jesus Daniel Rodriguez Yordi, were arrested on burglary and theft charges. Also discovered in the room was a credit card skimmer, receipts for the tools used to commit the burglaries, and multiple credit cards with the names of uninvolved individuals. A search of the U-Haul revealed a makeshift transport system with seven containers holding diesel fuel. YCSO coordinated with the victim companies to recover the stolen fuel. The incident is not believed to be connected to any train or truck burglaries along Interstate 40. A third unidentified suspect is also believed to be involved. A newer model black Ford F-650 flatbed truck left the area before YCSO arrived on the scene. Those with information regarding the unidentified third suspect, the black Ford truck, or this incident are encouraged to contact YCSO at 928-771-3260 or submit an anonymous tip through Yavapai Silent Witness at 800-932-3232 or online at yavapaisw.com. Prescott approves policy for funding events hosted by non-government entities by Brody Green. The Prescott City Council approved a new policy that establishes criteria for using city tourism funds and resources to sponsor special events such as the Prescott Rodeo or the Whiskey Off-Road, causing one Prescott resident to argue that the policy would violate the state constitution. Under the new signature events policy, events that are coordinated by non-government entities generate at least $100,000 in tourism and sales tax, bring at least 5,000 visitors from outside Prescott, and have a marketing reach of over 1 million impressions, can qualify for up to 50% of city taxes generated up to a maximum of $80,000 and in-kind city services up to $40,000. Deputy City Manager Michael Morris presented the policy to the City Council on Tuesday, May 26th. He said that the city would determine if events would qualify through an economic impact study. The studies themselves cost approximately $22,000, split between the organizer and the city. The policy initially included a 5-year contract approved by the City Council after the study completes, but Mayor Kathy Rusing amended it to a 3-year term with 2 1-year extensions after she and several members of the council expressed concern about committing to provide funding for 5 years. There are events that go out and get sponsors, Rusing said. Are we going to, with these signature events, make them dependent on us? Are they going to be able to still go out and get sponsors, and maybe they won't need a grant someday? Council member Jay Ruby said that he didn't see why events that benefit the city shouldn't get some of those benefits back. I resent the word handout. That is the way cultural events work. They're providing immediate benefit, and when it's termed as a handout, it sounds like that cultural event organizers are welfare recipients. That is not the case, Ruby said. City Attorney Joseph Young said that the question of the Arizona Constitution's gift clause, which holds that government entities can't give money to anyone or any group if the value they get in return is less than what they pay, is a relevant consideration, but that state law allows bed taxes to be spent on promoting tourism. We have specific state statutes on how bed tax funds can be spent, and specifically they can be spent to promote tourism, to go to sporting events or other cultural events, to go to contracts with nonprofit organizations to promote tourism, Young said. Young added that the new policy was a better step toward meeting gift clause requirements because currently event funding decisions are made on a case-by-case basis with no real criteria. Howard Mechanic, a Prescott resident who previously sued the state for initially giving $15.3 million directly to Prescott Frontier Days, which was found to be a violation of the gift clause, a judge ruled, argued that the policy was not constitutional. A concert, a bike ride, a rodeo, these are not public services, Mechanic said. I don't believe that the courts have ever tried to delineate where the gift clause applies for what taxes. Kim Lopez, president of Prescott Frontier Days, said events such as the Prescott Rodeo serve the city by marketing it as a destination. Over the 4th of July weekend, if there was not a rodeo here, those hotel beds would not be filled, Lopez said. The city of Prescott needs to pay attention, and the council needs to pay attention to their identity, because they talked about the brand yesterday during that whole council meeting. And let me tell you one thing, we are your brand. The council ultimately voted to approve the policy with the amendments in a 6-1 vote. Mayor Pro Tem Lois Frueworth, who said she felt the policy was not fully evaluated, was the sole vote against. You are listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Vote for Area Roads. Why Plan Seeks Input on Transportation Improvements by Jillian Andrews. The next $300 million Yavapai County spends on transportation is open to public input through Monday, June the 22nd, as Y Plan seeks comments on its 5-year Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP. Priorities include trails, bike paths, and safer intersections. Plans such as the TIP are how this region speaks, said Y Plan Executive Director Vinny Gallegos in a recent newsletter. Basically, a record of what our communities have identified as their priorities. About 10 priorities for funding are in the TIP, a plan that the county has developed in order to get taxpayer dollars back from the state and federal government for local projects. This is not a wish list, Gallegos said. Rather, it's an ongoing working menu of projects. The projects it lists are in various stages of development and are subject to change depending on funding. Here's highlights of transportation improvement priorities. A $25.75 million 13-project package of improvements along Highway 69, including signals and turn lanes to improve safety and traffic flow. A design for widening of Willow Creek Road in Prescott and analysis of how to improve of the Five Points intersection near Dignity Health. In Prescott Valley, improvements to Highway 89A, including a $20.8 million design for widening between Highway 89 and Glassford Hill, and an $84.3 million exploration of an interchange at Robert Road. In Chino Valley, improvements to Highway 89, including $3.3 million to evaluate the Big Chino Road roundabout and $38 million to study the impact of widening between roads 3 and 5. And a report on Dewey Humboldt's Prescott Street Bridge, which crosses the Agua Fria River at a point that often floods. Interested residents can visit yplan.org/MTIP-FORM to view and leave comments on the Transportation Improvement Program through June 22nd. A safer option for biking and walking along 69. Bikers and pedestrians who take their lives into their hands to visit stores along Highway 69 will likely be happy to see the return of a multi-use path in that route's TIP package. Paths are proposed between the Prescott National Cemetery and Lee Boulevard, in some cases on both sides of the highway. This path was originally part of the work that recently saw widening and other improvements on Highway 69, but was tabled when the funding did not come through. The good news, Y-Plan has hit the ground running on starting this project, Gallegos said. Y-Plan currently has $250,000 in a grant funding ask out for the path to begin planning and design. Board votes to explore transportation authority. Y-Plan's board unanimously voted Wednesday, May 27th, to take the next 5 years to explore setting up a regional transportation authority, RTA, in Yavapai County. The county's 25-year transportation plan calls for $1 billion in funding to fix roads, bridges, and safety issues. The amount of that money currently in the bank? $0. So there's a bit of a gap, Gallegos said. An RTA would help fill that gap by making it easier for local and county governments to collaborate on raising money for transportation projects locally. The RTA would ask voters for their support with a specific list of projects, like the ones in the Transportation Improvement Program, rather than being a blank check for new ones. Transit company to boost local funding power. Yava Line's bus route between Prescott and Prescott Valley is still on hold for the moment, waiting for a retrofit of the buses for disability compliance. But purchase of the two buses for the route has been completed. In the meantime, VIA, the company running Yava Line's on-demand transit service, has offered to help the county seek grants for Highways 69 and 89 that aren't just limited to public transit. VIA has filled a niche of low-cost on-demand alternative services such as Uber or Lyft in rural areas across the country. They offer transportation for seniors, students, and those with disabilities, and medical transportation for as low as a dollar a ride. The company offers data-driven insights on transit logistics as a service. Next, we'll turn to the features page of the Prescott Daily Courier, starting with Dear Annie by Annie Lane. Dear Annie, my husband and I both work from home and each have our own offices. The problem is our walls are thin and his voice is loud. It travels through walls and doors and can even be heard by colleagues I'm speaking with when we both have meetings at the same time. It honestly sounds like he's screaming in there. I've resorted to noise-canceling headphones while doing focus work, but even then, I can still sometimes hear him. I love him dearly, but I feel like I'm co-working in a sports bar. Is there any hope? Signed, Drowned Out. Dear Drowned Out, there are ways to solve your husband's volume problem with acoustics. Start with soft furnishings. A heavy rug and an upholstered chair can actually absorb a shocking amount of sound. Foam panels mounted on his walls and a door draft stopper can work wonders too. You can also suggest a new headset, specifically the kind with a microphone close enough to the mouth that he doesn't need to project so loudly. Most people shout on calls because they can't hear themselves. A good headset solves this and, as a bonus, makes him look more polished to colleagues. Don't overlook a simple ask either. Honey, can you bring it down a notch? After all, you married someone you can be honest with. Dear Annie, my husband and I have been married for 12 years. Every time we go out to dinner with friends, he tells the same stories, or at least the same types of stories. The punchline is usually me. He'll joke about the time I backed into the garage door or burned Thanksgiving rolls in 2017, like he's performing a stand-up routine. He enjoys being the center of attention and making people laugh. Sometimes I laugh too, but I always feel a pang of annoyance. If I tell him I'm annoyed, he'll just say, "You were laughing." But it's really the only thing I can do in the moment. These jokes are terribly obnoxious, in my opinion, but he won't even take me seriously when I tell him so. Signed, Tired of the Comedy Show. Dear Tired, your husband may think he's being charming, but jokes that embarrass a spouse lose their humor quickly, especially after the 100th retelling. Many people smile through embarrassment because they don't want to make dinner uncomfortable for everyone else. Your husband should understand that. If he says he doesn't, he's playing dumb. Tell him that teasing is only funny when both people enjoy it. A loving partner will stop. And here's a tip from Wellness Speak by Robert Harold. Put salt down the drain to unclog the sink overnight. Salt serves as an effective anti-clogging solution for your kitchen sink. To enhance its efficacy, blend a half a cup of salt with 1 cup of baking soda. Allow it to sit for 4 to 6 hours, making it convenient to pour the mixture down the sink before bedtime. After letting it sit for several hours or overnight, flush the sink with hot water to remove the mixture. Repeat as necessary. You've been listening to the Prescott Daily Courier, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona next.